Susie Jordan, you want to tell us what we're going to be doing today, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Today we're going to finish up with the agency overview in the first 15 minutes. We're going to do the rest of their programs, and then we're going to start work on the performance measures, just reviewing the performance measures and outcomes as they relate to this budget. And after that, then we're going to start on the prioritization lists and the reduction, 10% reduction that you have in your place here.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Crump.
Susie, does this replace this?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Thank you.
And that replaced the one you had the day before.
Yeah, I know. Fair enough.
New and improved.
It's always good to have new and improved.
Up to date.
So, Representative Marvin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Member of the committee, member of the committee. My name is Marvin Brown, Director of the Department of Forestry again. I'm going to nutshell pages 106 through 115 of your presentation rather than go through each one of them individually. Basically, they cover the nursery program. The nursery is a self-supporting operation. It's by statute operates solely on the revenue that it generates, and its primary purpose is to make stock available to the smaller woodland owners who typically don't contract with the large commercial nurseries. We've had an issue over the last couple of years crop up because commercial nurserymen are concerned about our nursery operation providing competition. There was a budget note last year that directed us to study that issue. We've been doing that all along. I think we've reached some pretty good conclusions with the Oregon Association of Nurserymen. In essence, there's going to be an attempt to get legislation approved that would allow the development of a cooperative that we would be in charge of and would use the private nurseries. And essentially, we would work with them to make sure that the speculative stock was available to small woodland owners. If that legislation comes to bear and we can form the cooperative, we would look to lease the nursery because we feel like it needs to stay open, stay running while we see whether or not the cooperative is actually going to get the job done. And if the cooperative works, then eventually the lease would probably be phased out, the nursery would be sold. That's kind of the recommendations from the task force. The board said they approved going ahead and evaluating whether or not we can get all those things done. And we're going to come back to them step by step and see what kind of progress we're making on the legislation, the cooperative, the leasing aspect of it. I would presume at this point, even if everything continues along successfully, we'll still be putting our own seed in the ground next spring, but things could change after that. Like I said, it is a self-supporting operation. It's not, there's no general fund. It's all supported by revenue. So any questions on the nursery
committee? We've learned our lesson.
You bring your chair. We heard you bring a big stick in today, so.
Just 30 seconds on our seed orchard operation. It is a private-public cooperative where we grow and put seed for the members of the cooperative. And again, it's all self-supporting. There's no general fund. It's operated solely on the basis of the revenues that are provided by the members of the cooperative. And it's a really successful kind of venture. So we're kind of hoping the nursery the nursery need could be met in a similar way, but we'll see. And I'm going to stop there and go to page 118 and turn it over to Clark Seeley, the Associate State Forester, who will cover the administrative and support programs almost as quickly as I just did, though.
Good afternoon, Chair Krieger, members of the committee. I'm Clark Seeley, the Associate State Forester for the Department of Forestry. Our agency administration program was created legislatively in 1989 as a mechanism to bring all of our agency administration budgetarily into one program so that we could manage it more effectively and you as well. That process then led to the development of an internal accounting structure that charges our operating program revenues for support of agency administration on a work activity basis, and that was an important component of what we did in those years to create the program. In addition to agency administration, I'll touch just real briefly on supporting programs that we have in the agency, such as our equipment pool and our facilities maintenance fund and program. All of that constitutes the work that we do to support the work of the agency. In terms of the values that are created through our work in agency administration and support, we focus on such things as effective leadership, workforce excellence and capacity, management of risk, accountability, building relationships, creating and providing information that's science-based, and then again providing internal support to the forestry and to the agency. Performance measures for our work in agency administration is kind of a combination of measures that we track internally as well as measures that are being developed and coordinated by Department of Administrative Services for all agencies to use in the coming years for administrative work. Those are listed here on this slide. We also have established a quality assurance program in the agency within the last year, and that program in and of itself will establish a number of important measures for risk and accountability in the agency. And then, in addition, we also are establishing a new performance measure that applies to the entire agency that will deal with our relationship with county boards and commissions and the need to meet their expectations and a measure of how well we're doing that. The next slide shows just a couple of examples of internal measures that we track and have tracked for a number of years. This one pertains to safety in the agency. We track time loss claims, and we also track paid costs for injuries. And you can see how those have tracked over time.
Mr. Chair? Just a quick question. Why the big spike in 94-95 in safety paid costs?
That was a result of a single claim, a single injury claim out of the 1994 fire season. And often, you know, that is the case. There is some significant loss or injury to an employee that's catastrophic.
Okay, thank you.
Just briefly in terms of the program budget and positions, and this actually is not just agency administration, but it's also all of our supporting programs, again, like equipment, fuel, and facilities, and debt service rolled into one. So these numbers represent that entire ball of wax. And you can see that the budget proposal for 05-07 at the governor's level is approximately the same as LAB for 03-05. And the FTE are down 5 FTE between the two. And again, the funding for agency administration is primarily an internal service distribution across the operating program revenues on an activity basis. And by that I mean we literally count periodically, we count the number of purchase order transactions or personnel transactions for one of the programs, and in this case, our distribution of costs based on those activities that we work on, rather than purely a percentage of total budget or percentage of total FTE, for example.
Susie, do we have a percentage number of how many employees of forestry are at the top end of the salary range?
Mr. Chair, I don't have that. I think we could probably pull that information for phase two.
If you could take note of that. Thank you.
The program components for, again, agency administration as well as the support include these elements: leadership, agency leadership and Board of Forestry support, our quality assurance program that I mentioned, agency affairs, resource planning, human resources, information technology, and business services. And business services includes not only the financial and budget work, but also equipment pool, capital improvement, facilities maintenance, and debt service. The issues that affect our cost and delivery of services at a high level include a workforce that, like most organizations today, is going through the transition of baby boomers, and we're seeing higher than average numbers of retirements over this period of time. For us, that really started about 8 years ago. We started 10 years ago in the middle 1990s to begin planning for that and did some work on a scan of issues and barriers to succession and so forth, and we continue to work on that today. Workforce capacity, quality, and diversity in terms of our employees, and doing all we can do to ensure that they're providing the best they can. Business systems and management processes. We have, in several cases, some aging and aged business systems, and we're interested and anxious to take some steps to make improvements there. Technology and infrastructure investments. Again, in some cases, we have aging infrastructure, particularly in our facilities. Many of our offices across the state and our field districts were constructed in the 30s and 40s and the 50s. And many of them are in need of some major capital improvement. We have high public interest, of course, in our work, and our agency affairs work addresses that. We do have a complex financial management system, partly because I believe we try and represent, of course, both public and forest landowner values in our financial and budget system. That creates some complication and a fairly complex system. And then finally, increasing state and federal administrative laws and restrictions. An example of that certainly is what has been proposed and implemented at the federal level in the last two or three years following the Enron and similar kinds of scandals relative to internal controls and accounting. In terms of what we are trying to do to address some of these,
Just very quickly before you get off this page, if you could give us information about diversity in your workforce, would be helpful, gender and people of color, especially in the management level, not just planting trees and fighting fires.
Chair Krieger and Senator Bates, be glad to do that. Be glad to prepare that report for you.
Thank you.
As you may know, the requirements for the full budget includes an affirmative action report and analysis, and we'll be glad to
share that with me. That'd be the reply.
You bet.
You've prepared that report already. That whatever you put in the report would be satisfactory to me. Thank you.
In terms of addressing these issues, just as one example, I wanted to mention today an initiative that we have launched over the last year. We're calling the Forestry Business Improvement Initiative. It really touches on all of our programs within the agency, and it really is a current example to provide some added focus and emphasis and work in the area of improving our business practices. The goal is to increase our efficiency and effectiveness in both service delivery, risk management, decision-making, and information management. It's an agency-wide initiative. We have started this biennium. We hope to be able to continue to work on this in the coming, at least the coming two biennia, dependent upon budget resources. And our process to date, or our process overall, is to conduct a comprehensive business review, which we've now begun, to identify existing business systems that need to be either abandoned, improved, or created in both the short term and the long term. The initiative has those two distinct perspectives, and then to develop business cases for the projects that come out of that analysis and take action from there. And then finally, we just mentioned the impact of the 10% reduction options that have been included. Really, for agency administration, it comes down to our ability to move information and conduct our business in a timely way. And with reductions proposed, those delays creep in, and it's harder for us to meet requirements, both in terms of the information provided as well as timing. And with that, that kind of concludes the agency administration and support programs perspective. Our last couple slides here, just to give you a quick look at a couple of pieces of legislation that are in the hopper, and we'll again be talking with you much more about all of these, both at our phase two work as well as substantive bills come to you for ways and means consideration as well. And then our phase two look is simply a reiteration of the co-chair's instructions that we'll be planning for and working with you on. So that concludes this presentation.
Ready? You got any questions?
Mr. Chair, just briefly, can you go over your legislation, your concepts? Just briefly?
Sure. Very briefly, the two concepts that have been introduced by the governor on behalf of the Board of Forestry and the Department, Senate Bill 177 and House Bill 2122. Senate Bill 177 is, to some extent, a clarification of a bill that was passed last session in the 2003 session, and that was House Bill 2200 from last session. And it was a bill that limits the liabilities in tort actions for work of firefighters as they go about their duty. And the bill simply provides a provision or adds to the list of government employees who are already within that framework, the Forest Protective Association employees, to that same list. And the governor's office last session had some concerns about the final wording of the bill. He let the bill pass, and we've now just worked to clean that up. And so Senate Bill 177 is the result of that. The governor's office and his legal staff have looked at the draft and are comfortable with Senate Bill 177. House Bill 2122 is the, I'll say, the normal harvest tax bill that we in the Oregon State University College of Forestry come to the legislature each session with, that sets the actual harvest tax rates in law for the next 2 years as we build budgets. And that bill's had its first policy hearing in the House Ag and Natural Resource Committee, and it's now been referred to the House Revenue Committee. The other two key pieces of legislation that we reference in the slide here is House Bill 2327, which deals with fire protection funding that we talked with you about on Monday. And again, that bill will be coming to you for further policy and fiscal consideration. And then the final item on the list here is the legislation that Marvin just mentioned relative to the nursery and providing some additional authority for the Board of Forestry to work under the notion of a co-op approach for seedling production. So those are the two that have been introduced on behalf of the Board of Forestry and the governor, and then the other two that are kind of at the top of our list right now.
Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure I'm understanding the governor's, your 10% reduction in the governor's recommended budget, and this may be something that I'm just missing here, so bear with me. First question is, I'd like to have some idea of how you went about deciding what your priorities were. And secondly, I'm just looking at this, did you break it into 10% reduction in general funds? Was it 10% across your budget in various priority areas? Just looking at this quickly, it appears, and I'm probably reading it wrong, because some of the reductions are in other funds and not in general fund money, so I'm probably looking at this incorrectly.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, we're going to go through this in detail. And when we get to this packet of information, I'll explain how to read the form so that you understand what it is that you're looking at. And then the agency will provide the information that you're looking for under how they made the decisions to define it the way that they did.
Thank you.
But first, we're going to go next to performance measures and go through their performance measures. And if you go to the appendix about three pages back, is a summary of the agency's key performance measures. And this is a section that the co-chairs are particularly interested in, the subcommittees exploring in depth to make sure that the outcomes that the agency is presenting here is of value and relates to the budget that they are requesting. So we'll want to take a look at, we're going to look at each one, and you're free to ask whatever questions you want to clarify the information.
Where are you, which document?
I am in the agency's overview presentation binder that you didn't bring. Okay, I'll give you an extra. We have an extra one.
Yes.
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 What this page is
that's one that the agency, that's what legislative briefing was, that the agency presented to all of the
okay. So which one am I supposed to have?
That's not the one you're supposed to have.
We can give you one.
Well, that's curious, Senator.
And there's reasons for that.
Yeah, I'm sure there probably is. Mr.
Roy, I don't have higher timber harvest levels provide the paper. You guys are pretty quiet over there, and you're eating biscuits. I think I'll bring you some more biscuits.
I was saying, where?
Right there.
On the tube out there.
Right there. I have time for lunch. I'll just grab some food right now.
So where are the
biscuits? I don't see any biscuits.
I have brought some food.
Yes.
I have time for lunch. I'll grab some food right now.
You brought me a dog.
Maybe I just brought the wrong one.
If I should dog biscuits.
Are we in the performance link, or are we in the...
No, Mr. Chair, you're in the forestry...
this one?
Yes, that book that you have your hand in.
Okay.
Their presentation binder. There's an appendix section.
Okay. Under agency, appendix.
Appendix, about three pages back. It's page L3.
You know, this guy looked like Keystone Cops out there. The rest of you. Oh, well.
It's actually information repeated twice. There's two places you want us to get. You want us on this one.
Yes, I do.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So,
thanks for indulging.
Are we ready?
We're ready.
David Mormon has joined us. He's director of our resources planning program. One of the things that we try to do is make sure that these performance measures are hooked up with all of our planning and budgeting functions. And David's going to walk you through where we are and where we've been, where we're going on these.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, I'm David Mormon, the director of the Forest Resources Planning Program, and a part of my program's responsibility is to provide staff support to the executive team and to the Board of Forestry. And so we've been pretty closely involved with the board in the development of their revision of the forestry program for Oregon and the subsequent revision of the agency's strategic plan, which was just updated last year. And I think before we get into the detail of the individual measures that are listed in the appendices, you may want to skip forward a little bit to the tab on agency overview. On pages B19 to B34, there is a discussion of the process we've been going through in revising our performance measures. And I wanted to make it clear that we have proposed significant revisions in our performance measures going into 2005, 2007, and beyond. And currently where we're at is in 2005, we had 25 performance measures, and those are what are reported under the appendices. We have modified that by proposing to retain 12 of those 25 measures in a modified form, drop 13 of those measures, and we've developed 7 new measures that we're adding. So looking forward, we're looking at a set of 19 future measures, and those are listed. If you look at pages B23, B24, and the top of B25 until you get down to on the right column, it says request number 19. That set of 19 are our proposed future measures. And then from 20 on down to 32 on page B25 are measures that we have reported and are included in the appendix, but they are measures we're planning to no longer carry past this report.
Okay, Mr. Chair. Yes, members of the committee, these measures that the agency is proposing are measures that you will need to act on and accept or reject as part of the work session. So you want to make sure that you get enough information that you feel comfortable with what it is that they are presenting.
And to provide some context to that, we have been anxious to do this revision for quite some time, but we really felt like we needed to do it in a stepwise approach. And the first step was for the board to develop its strategic plan and then for the agency to follow suit with its strategic planning process, which included performance measure revision. I think as we look back at some of the current measures that we're planning to delete, many of those measures were primarily developed for internal program purposes without really looking at the broader strategic emphasis of the agency. And stakeholder involvement in those measures vary from measure to measure, and in some cases has been limited in the past. we really use this as an opportunity to engage our stakeholders in our strategic planning process and also bring our measures up to speed with the current DAS guidelines for format and content. So I'm more pleased and anxious to talk about our new and improved measures, and we admit that there's some things we don't like about some of our current measures, which is why we are proposing the changes. In summarizing our current measures, again, there are 25 current measures. Our report shows that 14 of those measures are either meeting or exceeding the targets we've established for the current reporting period, and 11, for one reason or another, have not met at the target for the current reporting period. And just kind of provide an overview, and this is provided on page B19. We were, just to summarize those 25 measures, we do show that we are effective in preventing and suppressing forest wildfires despite difficult weather conditions and fuel conditions during the reporting period. We continue to be proactive in the detection and prevention of forest insect and disease problems. Our measures reflect that. And we continue to be effective in meeting our management objectives on state-managed forest lands. We also provide assistance to urban community forests and administer the smoke manager program in an effective way, and our measures reflect that as well. We do show through the performance measures that weather conditions in 2002 had a direct effect on the performance of our department's tree nursery, and budget reductions have affected the department's ability to administer the Forest Practices Act to provide assistance to family and to provide assistance to family forest landowners. However, we still show through our performance measures that the Forest Practices Act compliance remains very high, primarily through the voluntary efforts of forest landowners. And with that, I guess the last thing I would show is kind of the model we've used, which I've shown. I think maybe you have this. Was this handed out as well? It's kind of hard to see here. But the model we're using to develop the new measures is really drawn from some work that the Progress Board has suggested. And we found this was really useful within our department and talking to stakeholders about the way we go about developing performance measures. And one thing you'll see in our new measures is we're trying to focus more on outcomes rather than just outputs. In other words, instead of just counting the widgets that we produce, can we also talk about what are the things we're really trying to influence on the landscape in the forest sector, and are we indeed having that influence? So we tend to focus on higher level outcomes, and this diagram I think is very helpful in that the inputs that we provide through our budget, through the resources we're given, produce certain outputs, and we can develop those more widget counting performance measures that are based on those outputs, but we've tried to carry that to another step and say, okay, what are the higher level outcomes we want to produce, and those, whenever possible, will become the basis for the performance measures that we've developed. And that's what you're going to see here, these annually reported performance measures. But there's another step that we're also working on with our Board of Forestry, and these are a little more high altitude, longer term indicators of forest sustainability. And that's another discussion we're having with the board and just beginning to have with stakeholders, that's really above and beyond the performance measure process. These will be longer term reports, perhaps on a 5 to 8 year cycle, that will be used primarily by the Board of Forestry to inform the public on how well we're doing in achieving the board's strategies and actions for sustainable forestry in Oregon. So with that, I think I'd like to pause and maybe ask the chair and the committee's direction on how much detail you want to go into the. Basically, we have 32 measures we could look at. We have the 25 we're currently carrying and reporting on, and then there are the other 7 that we're adding. So what is your pleasure on the detail you'd like to go into?
Let's do a detail start at the beginning.
Okay.
Take us right through them.
Are we going to do all 32 or the 19 that we move forward?
32 of them. And the thing is, make sure you reference the page that you're on as okay. Well, so we have to keep up with you.
Well, I think we'll begin then on, I'm back in the appendix on page L3, performance measure 69-1. And I've already alerted the assistant state foresters that we get into the nuances of certain elements of their programs. I'll be asking them to come up here and also interpret this. But I'll make a stab at it. The first measure is the percent of inspected commercial forest operations that are in compliance with the Forest Practices Act. And the Forest Practices Act contains a set of best management practices that are designed to protect forest resources and maintain the economic outputs of our forests. And our performance measure shows that forest landowners and operators are complying with the Forest Practices Act and are implementing the best management practices provided by those administrative rules. Do you want more detail on that?
Question.
Keep moving.
What percent of the affected commercial property are you actually looking at? And this is, you said, of inspected. So what percent of commercial property are you looking at is being harvested?
Well, first of all, every commercial operation that occurs on private lands regulated by the Forest Practice Act, they are required to notify the department of their intent to conduct that operation. Then our stewardship foresters prioritize those notifications and focus their inspections on the operations that they think are the highest risk of potential resource damage. And so we have several thousand operations a year. It used to be 20,000. I'm not sure what it is today. So obviously with our resources, we don't go out every day on every operation, but we try to prioritize that. So these are an intent to inspect the highest priority operations from the standpoint of resource protection.
Follow up. The question was, what percentage are you inspecting?
Okay, Ted, do you... I don't have that information with me.
Come back and get, I mean, is it 1%, 50%? Just give me a ballpark when you have an opportunity.
Okay.
Thank you. And I appreciate your prioritizing it and looking at the ones you're most concerned about first.
Yes, there may be a... Chair Krieger, Senator Bates, there may be a performance measure later that will shed a little bit more light on that.
Thank you.
Turning next to page L5, this is performance measure number 2, operation contacts per Forest Practices Program FTE. This performance measure is a count of the number of reported operation meetings, which could be pre-operation inspections that occur during operations or post-operation inspections per stewardship forester FTE. And the performance measure demonstrates the efficiency of the program in carrying out the prevention message and providing assistance and enforcement to key people involved in forestry operations. A reduction in education and technical assistance provided to operators and landowners on best management practices limits progress on these three goals. So again, I think this is where you're seeing a reduction that's primarily a result of our limited budgets to apply to this particular activity. Moving on to page L7, performance measure 629-3. This is the percent of harvest acres, excluding harvests on federal and state forests, which require compliance determinations that our Forest Practices Act reforestation standards are being met. And this measure, obviously, reforestation is a key if we want to maintain the future productivity of our forests. And this performance measure indicates that forest landowners are promptly reforesting their land after harvest, and obviously that provides an array of social, economic, and environmental benefits. And that is a trend that we've seen for several years.
On that issue, can you get us a little information, if you have it? This is based on acres, not operations, and I have a concern about the number of small woodland owners who make a one-time harvest. And yeah, maybe they reforest, but they got to get to the point of free to grow. And on the small operations, I feel we're falling down. In fact, I stated that for back when I was on the board. I picture that we're still having that problem, especially on small lots, one-time harvest, and then they're not going to do it again, they know, so they don't have the incentive. And the enforcement of that is difficult.
Chair Krieger, that's a valid question. I think it also points out that often those small parcels are often the most visible ones because they're ones where people will be driving by and saying, has that site been reforested or not?
Yeah.
So that's a valid
question.
Performance measure 629-4, which is on page L8, acres planted by the Forest Resource Trust Program. And that is a program that's been in effect for several years. However, we're finding that private landowners have not used the Forest Resource Trust as frequently as anticipated as a tool to help reforest underproducing forest lands. And we're finding that requirements for participating in the program are not as popular with private landowners as we'd hoped it would be. accomplishments require a significantly greater workload investment for the department when compared to other federal assistance programs that we provide to for private forest landowners. And again, accomplishments are lower in this last reporting period, primarily due to reductions in field positions and dedication of our resources to higher productivity activities. In addition, we have a forest resource trust manager position that has been vacant for over a year, and that's been another contributing factor.
Can you just explain that in English, plain English?
Chair Krieger, Senator Bates, we have
maybe a try, and I just didn't pick it up.
We have developed, and this was through legislation several years ago, I believe. Then Secretary of State Kiesling was a big driver for this concept to provide a way for state government to engage into a contractual relationship with private landowners to help them cover the upfront costs of reforestation. And we developed a tool to do that. What we're finding is that while in concepts it has great support, as far as in practice, we're not finding landlords have been jumping on the bandwagon to take advantage of this tool. That has been compounded with the fact that it is a fairly, as I said before, it takes a significant amount of work on the part of the department field employees to administer the program. And a combination of those factors, I think, has led to a lower level of performance than we anticipated or hoped.
Didn't this involve understocked lands, and it was an incentive to get those lands on to production because there wasn't going to be revenue coming off of those lands on a harvest that would get the harvesting, I mean, the cost of reforestation done.
Sure, Peter, that's
correct. And then at a later date, upon harvest, some of that had to be paid back by the forest landowners. I recall there was some. This has been about a while.
Chair Krieger, I believe it's been on the books for at least probably 10 years or so.
This is a program that should be discontinued?
I think it's a questionable value today. I think they need to make that judgment call. Talk to us about how many people are utilizing it, the number of acres that are underneath the program, and are the pay. Of course, we're not at the payback time yet. You know, those trees that were planted are going to be years off. But the program is supposed to be paid back, and they could pay it back prior to the harvest if they wanted to, as I recall, if they come up with cash.
Chair Krieger, I believe that's correct.
Chair Krieger, are the acres, I'm saying like 200 acres, the actual number of acres, is that? How many FTE do you have working on getting 200 acres a year planted?
Chair Krieger, at Senator Bates, I don't know the exact number, but it's going to be scattered over a number of positions, a small amount of time for a number of different people.
He indicated it was quite a burden.
It's a burden for any one of those that takes place, but there's not that many of them taking place, obviously. And the question of whether or not it should be discontinued or not, the other way to look at it is maybe we don't have the right incentives put together if, in fact, bringing non-stocked lands back into production is a priority. Maybe we need to redo the program and make it look more attractive to get it done. That's the other way to look at it, and that's a discussion that has to take place.
I looked at that program myself, and I wouldn't have used it. And I think that's what's happened. After people really looked at it, there's not many of them that would fit that they would use it. They would just do it on their own, not use the program, not own the money, and not have to pay it back later.
Does this program have anything to do with the carbon trading concepts that we passed in 2001, where we're in essence trying to promote the concept of taking lands that are normally not in timber production and putting them into timber production for carbon credits?
I don't think so.
This isn't a part of that?
Okay. No.
And the second question, Mr. Chair, is this is a trust. Where did the money come from for the trust, and how much is in there?
I will have to find out, unless we've got a quick answer.
Well, Chair Krieger, member of the Bay, Assistant State Forester. Basically, it's a...
So you're going to have to come forward.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
Self-maintaining trust, we did get some funds up front, but it's designed to be paid back, as Chair Krieger indicated, kind of the bigger story is about 600,000 to 700,000 acres of underproductive forest land that have been around for eons. There's been an effort to try and get those more productive, and this was a tool that Secretary of State Kiesling at the time thought would work well. And hypothetically, the landowner borrows money from the state, an agreement to pay back at the time of harvest or before that time if they have revenue, and that could go back to the trust to maintain it. I can't remember exactly how all the funds set up the trust were arranged. We could provide that information too. We did, yeah, I do remember we got some PGE or PP&L dollars that were related to some carbon-related issues, but it wasn't related to the carbon bill that was passed later on in the legislation. So, but we can provide that background to you. I would share State Forester Brown's conclusion that we're not sure that it's the right program, but I think we need to continue to address this problem because it is fairly significant. Chair, if you could provide that information to Susie and to the rest of us, I'd like to know more about this program.
Okay. I'll be moving on now to page L9, which is performance measure 629-5. Acres with improved management, including planting, tree planting, timber stand improvement, tax programs, certifications, associates, and so on. Accomplished first service forestry program, or what we're now referring to as stewardship forester, FTE. This performance measure demonstrates the efficiency of providing selected combination of on-the-ground types of services to, in particular, family forest landowners. The accomplishments per FTE were significantly higher in the last reporting period. There are really three major factors for this increase. An increase in the acres of forest stand improvement is one reason. There has been an increase in the available funds to assist landowners. Non-commercially thin, dense stands in fire-prone areas of eastern, central, and southwestern Oregon. The second reason is an increase in landowner stewardship plans, and this is through a kind of a collaborative relationship with the American Tree Farm System, which is now requiring written plans, management plans, as a part of their forest certification process. And three, and this is somewhat counterintuitive, there's been a reduction in field foresters, but that's kind of the nature of how this performance measure has been calculated, because many of these projects are multiple-year projects, and we're tracking them by the year that the projects are completed. A reduction of field foresters in the year the projects are completed tends to inflate the accomplishments per FTE, so I wanted to point out that little bit of a distortion there.
Just a quick question. You show in your targets a declining amount of acres. Why is that?
That's a good question. The targets are going down per acre.
Chair Krieger, Representative Krepp, I think part of that is our attempt to reflect reality where we think we see our budgeted resources are going for this particular activity, and trying to be more realistic of what we think we can achieve in the future.
Okay. Chair, maybe I'm reading the chart wrong. This is target per FTE.
Right. If I could, Chair Krieger and Senator Bates, one of the things that happens with our employees is even though they may be assigned to the private forest land program, when we get into fire season, our whole staff is available to fight fire. And as the private forest program staff shrinks, then the drawdown during fire is that much more significant. And that, coupled with the fact that we've had some pretty good fire seasons at different times, means that any one position is going to get less done if they're out there fighting fire. That's part of what happens, I know. I don't know that that's the whole answer. But.
Next, I'll be talking about Measure 6, which is on page L10. And I believe both Measure 6 and 7 deal with our forest nursery. Number 6 is the number of seed zones, elevations, and stock types from which seedlings are available from the department's nursery. And this measure demonstrates the effectiveness of the nursery in providing a stable supply of high-quality seedlings and proper stock types and from the right seed zones and elevations and species to assure prompt reforestation of non-industrial private lands. And performance for 2003 data shows that we did not meet the target. And again, as I mentioned earlier, this occurred primarily to a severe freeze in October 2002, which destroyed approximately 30% of the harvest crop. And we're still recovering from that setback. Likewise, moving on to measure 7 on page L12, a very similar story here. And in fact, as we talk about future measures, I think we kind of combined these measures. We no longer have both of these. This is the percent of non-contract seedling demand met by speculation stock. And again, this demonstrates the effectiveness of the program in predicting non-contract demand for seedlings and producing and selling seedlings grown on speculation. And again, we had a target we were not able to achieve, we're not able to deliver on, and that's primarily, again, because of the freeze in October 2002. On page L13, we move into some measures dealing with our fire program. Measure number 8 is the average fire size index, which is a combination of factors based on average cost per fire and acres burned and adjusted by the severity of the season. This indicator is a fire index related to the average extra cost per fire and the acres that are burned, adjusted, again, as I said, by the severity of the fire season. And the performance measure demonstrates the efficiency of the fire protection districts in managing the cost of large fires. I think this is a measure that we're planning to no longer carry forward. We feel like it's somewhat misleading in that it claims to be a measure of the effectiveness of managing average fires, but it's really more focused on a large project fire cost. And it lacks an adjustment for inflation, and there's no way to account for changes in the way large fires are suppressed. So we feel like there are some problems with this measure, but as it stands, we can report that the agency exceeded the target in the last reporting period, even though the 2003 fire season was one that was worse than average. And most of that success can be attributed to additional fire suppression resources that were funded by the legislature. Measure 9, again on page L14, percent of wildland fires controlled at 10 acres and less. This is a measure that we do like, and we are planning to continue in the future. We think it's a very important measure. It demonstrates the effectiveness of initial attack organization within the department on forest wildfires, and the department has exceeded its target of suppressing 94.4% of all wildfires at 10 acres or less in size. And that's a measure we're very proud of. On page L15, measure number 10, number of human-caused fires per 1,000 Oregon residents. This measure demonstrates our effectiveness in fire prevention in preventing human-caused fires. And I think the measure shows that the fire prevention program remains effective at that purpose. The department exceeded its target by keeping the number of human-caused fires below the target. And the outcome is significant, again, given the severity of the 2003 fire season.
Do you have any information on those specific causes, you know, like forest operations, lightning, kids on bikes and grass, welding? I'd like to be able to show what's not happening, that some people might make the assumption there is. I know what the answer is.
Yes.
But I want everyone to hear it.
Now, Chair Krieger, again, to be clear on this measure, we're just talking about human-caused fires. It would exclude lightning fires,
yeah.
But we do and could provide a breakdown of our known those known causes of human-caused fires.
Senator Bates.
I think I remember earlier this week we saw a figure, and it was like 99% was lightning or something. It was a very high figure. How do you set a target for something this small? I mean, you've had such a good program for so long and educating the public about not setting fires and closing the forest and... Why did you pick it out of the air? I'm just kind of curious.
Chair Krieger, Senator Bates, I believe this is a measure that has been around for some time, and I assume it was based on some baseline trend data we were seeing in the past. I think the important story here is that even as our population has increased, I don't believe this target has changed significantly, so I think it shows we're still being effective at preventing human-caused fires even as our population continues to increase. But I think probably the selection of the target is an artifact of trends in the past.
I mean, you just get to a certain minimum, that's all you can do. I mean, people are going to go out and be idiots and do things.
But Chair Krieger and Senator Bates, if this trend were going up, though, it would tell us something about something going on in the cross fires, and that's really what we look at. And that can happen, for example, you know, some of the human caused fires are related to logging operations and our administering of the shutdown periods when people can't log. And, you know, if there were some trends happening there, you know, that's the kind of things we look for that would indicate some programmatic breakdown.
Now we will move into three measures that deal with our state forest program, and I'll be on page L16. Measure 11 is the percent of state forest timber sale plan objectives met, and this measure demonstrates the effectiveness of the program in accomplishing agreed-to timber sale targets. And the 12% variance between the targeted and accomplishment rate in the last reporting period has resulted from three possible factors. These include additional workload associated with federal threat and endangered species issues and modifications that were required to timber sales as a result. Also, a second factor might be related to adjustments made as the sale is actually placed in a contract format. A final survey can identify changes to sale boundaries and harvest method layout, which can result in changes in acreage and timber volume estimates. And a third is workforce capacity. This can be, again, as we've cited for other issues, a factor, especially during fire season when district employees normally assigned to state forest management are pulled out of regular duty to fight fires. And that affects our timber sale plan timeline. On page L18, measure 12 is the percent of state forest reforestation plan objectives met. A very similar story here. A high level of performance. Reforestation activities are interconnected with the harvest schedule. Occasionally, a sale unit may not be completed within the planned timeline due to a variety of factors, and that could affect the scheduling of reforestation activities. And also, depending on stock type and the seedling used in reforestation, we may have factors there that affect this accomplishment. Occasionally, the viability of these seedlings can be compromised due to factors outside our control, and therefore we would rather delay reforestation than plant inappropriate seedlings. But our overall reforestation activities show a high level, in fact, 100% accomplishment for 2003. On page L19, measure 13% of state forest and intensive management objectives met. And here we're talking about stand improvement activities that occur in our state forest. Planned intensive management activities are adjusted and refined to use the most cost-effective and appropriate methods up to the point of implementation. These activities experience continual adjustments throughout the year as a result of identifying new opportunities that may have greater priority for implementation, and that's, I think, why you're seeing some variation here. But again, overall, pretty high level of performance. On page L20, now we'll talk a little bit about our insect disease, our forest health protection efforts. Measure 14 is the percent of acres planned for survey for insect and disease problems that are actually surveyed. And the performance measure demonstrates the effectiveness in meeting planned targets to detect and evaluate insect and disease problems. The survey needs change from year to year depending on the situation, and the data reveal that there are currently additional pests in Oregon's forest that need to be surveyed. Additional acres were surveyed, and that reflects continued increases, particularly in bark beetle activity statewide. But we have been able to complete all of our planned surveys. And carrying on with that same theme, on page L21, measure 15 is the percent of forest health assist accomplished compared to plan objectives. And this demonstrates the effectiveness in the planned targets of providing technical information and advice to clients, primarily forest and tree owners. The need changes again from year to year depending on the situation, and the data reveal that landowners are concerned about the health of their forest and do seek information, advice, and help in managing their forest. The reduction in the number of stewardship forester FTEs due to budget reductions has resulted in remaining resources to be shifted to higher prior activities in the past years, and that's why I think you're seeing a reduction in the 2003 value.
Representative Krupp, do you have something on that?
Thank you. Is this primarily for larger landowners, smaller landowners that use this type of assistance?
Chair Krieger, Representative Krupp, I don't believe there's that distinction. I think we basically respond to the request that
Bever.
We see.
Yeah. And Mr. Chair, I understand that you're lowering your target here considerably from what you've been able to provide, and I understand your narrative down here. Are you shortchanging the need that's out there? I mean, obviously, if you've got 226%, 300, 350, 390% of your targets, 170% this last year, there's a need out there. I mean, if you have that many people you're servicing with this type of service, so are we shortchanging the public out there by estimating so much lower, or do you think that you'll be able to exceed these again in the future?
Well, Chair Krieger and Representative Krupp, it's the more positions that we lose in the field, the less coverage we're going to get, and that's just a matter of fact. I mean, if in order to be able to service people, we've got to have the bodies out there pounding the ground, and I think that's what we're trying to reflect here, is that those bodies are shrinking, and we're going to get around to less requests, less problems.
Marvin, can you get us the data from the last session on the loss of personnel that served these people?
Sure.
And the projections within this budget, so we understand what might be happening?
Happy to do that.
Chair Krieger and Representative Krupp, I may also add, this is an area where we're trying, with our new measures that we'll talk about here toward the end, to be a little bit more outcome-oriented, and I'm looking at a measure that we're proposing to carry on in the future, which is the percent of aerially surveyed eastern Oregon forest, which is primarily where we're seeing a lot of our insect and disease damage, that is, in fact, free of insect disease damage. So as we're providing this assistance, as we're working with landowners, the real measure of effectiveness, I think, is are we seeing increase or a decrease in the acres of affected that are affected? And so that's what we're planning to focus our efforts in the future and have a fairly high target there of disease prevention, insect damage prevention.
So, excuse me, Mr. Chair, are you saying that this performance measure is going to be modified or you're going to add?
I believe this is a measure that is scheduled for deletion, and that is described again back in under the agency overview tab. The number sequence is different here, so it takes me a minute to cross-reference here. Yes, I'm looking on page B25. Under the agency overview tab, and here it's renumbered here. Request number 24 is the number on the right hand column, and this is one of the measures that we're planning to delete.
Mr. Chair,
yes,
it would be helpful for me. I mean, I'm going back and forth between two sections of this one, listing 32 things, and this one we're going through, and I don't know which ones they're planning to delete, not delete, and I don't understand, so in many ways, quite doesn't matter, but. could we get a list of the ones? Let me just separate these out in a sequential fashion so I can spend my time looking at the ones you're keeping and get some understanding of it.
And again, Chair Krieger, Senator Bates, I think that the best way to find that is on pages B23, 24, and 25.
And then the explanations are on the L pages. I just soon see the L pages, the ones you plan to keep up front, and let me just look through those.
And I think the intent in the appendix is to report on our current measures, and so that's part of the dilemma. We're doing such a significant overhaul that it does take a little bit of a crosswalk.
Okay. But you'll just let us know as we go which ones you're deleting, and then
I will try to do that. But thank you. Okay. I believe I'm on page L 22 now, forests help assist accomplish per FTE. I believe this is a measure that we are planning to delete. This measure demonstrates the efficiency of providing technical assistance to clients. The data reveal that increased workload, again, due to additional stresses and drought on Oregon's forests. The number of assists reflects the level of landowner forest health concerns. Bark beetle, sudden oak death are two major forest factors, health factors that are currently facing landowners, and we have been able to address all requests for assistance.
We're going to delete them out to just kind of skip the
okay. On page L23, measure number 17, this is acres surveyed for insect and disease problems. This is also a measure that we are planning to delete. And again, I talked about our new proposed measure, which I can refer to, that will replace this one. Again, it's a measure of our effectiveness in conducting aerial and ground surveys for insect and disease problems. On page L24, we begin talking about our urban and community forest program. We have two measures here. Measure 18 is the local percent of local funds match that are local fund match that is leveraged by urban forestry grants that programs that we administer. And I will lump that together with measure 19, which is the percent of 240 cities and 100 organizations that we work with that have been receiving urban forestry program assistance. Those have been our measures that we have used in the past. And again, I'm having trouble with this format myself, but there is a new measure we are going to be replacing that with. That will become measure 18, which is on the top of page B25. Our new measure will be the percent of Oregon cities actively managing their urban and community forest resources. And there's one more urban forestry measure on page L26, the number of urban forestry technical assists per FTE, which again will be replaced by that measure I just referenced. And I believe our last four measures that are on pages L27 through L31 all deal with our smoke management program and the effectiveness of that program in protecting air quality. And that was one where we thought there was a significant overhaul was needed in those measures. And again, back in the on page B25, I believe we talked about this. We've combined that into two performance measures. I'm actually looking on page B24. Our new measure 16 is the total forest acres treated with prescribed fire mechanical methods or other methods, primarily for fuel reduction on private and federal lands, trying to link together not only smoke management but also forest health restoration, and then also the total number of restricted areas units burned per total number of smoke intrusions in designated population centers. And that's a convoluted statement, but basically there are areas around the state designated to receive additional protection from smoke from slash burning and field burning. And this is a measure of our effectiveness in protecting those areas from smoke intrusions. So that would be the measure that we carry forward. So I kind of raced through that list that's in the appendix, especially toward the end. And I think what I missed and what I'll wrap up with is just highlighting the other new measures that we're proposing to add to the list. And probably the best way to see this would be if you'll turn to page B30 under the agency overview tab. And this is the same information displayed in a different form that the progress board has asked us to complete. And you'll see in the left, second left column, a list.
Mr. Chair, before you do that, I think if I refer you to B26 and 27, you can see what measures the agency plans to keep 1 through 19, and then measures 20 through the bottom of that list are the ones they plan to delete with the information, the target information listed at the summary in the beginning of your
agency overview on page B26 and 27. I think that'll help the committee get a better view of what the agency's measures are in a summary, and what the and then what their because it was very confusing going through this, trying to figure out what you have and what you're
and deleting. And again, I think if you look on page B30 and 31, you can quickly highlight the new measures that maybe I haven't touched on. And if you look in the second column from the left on these two pages where it says add, those should be the seven new measures that we are adding. Measure number one is our attempt to implement a customer service performance or customer satisfaction performance measure, and our idea there is to work with county boards and commissions as a representative of our customers to measure their satisfaction with our various programs. Measure number two is a new measure focusing on our ability and our success in getting family forest landowners to develop written management plans for their ownerships. Skipping down to measure number four, forest management incentive funds provided to private landowners, some measure of our efficiency in providing incentives to landowners to help them manage their lands. Dropping down, measure number nine, again on page B30, this is our attempt to focus more on water quality issues and Oregon plan implementation and measuring the cumulative performance of private landowners and their investments in voluntary water quality riparian and aquatic restoration projects under the Oregon plan. That's obviously it's a voluntary effort by forest landowners. We work closely with them, but we think this is a good performance measure to maybe amplify and recognize the voluntary contributions that landowners are already making to this effort. And then the last three on page B31, and this is probably our biggest stretch as far as an output versus an outcome measure. That would be measure 10. We're interested in tracking fish abundance numbers, particularly in this case looking at coastal coho, as a measure of an activity or an outcome that's partially influenced by our department programs. Obviously, there's a multitude of other things that affect coho abundance, but it's obviously something we're very focused on with our forest practice program, our state forest management program, and we're interested in tracking that important factor that's important to a lot of Oregonians over time.
Are you going to do that work yourself, or are you going to have Fish and Wildlife do
actually,
it?
Chair Krieger, one reason why we picked that, because there's readily available data from the Department of Fish and Wildlife that we can use to track that measure.
How would you correlate cause and effect when they're figuring 97% of the effect of abundance of ocean?
Chair Krieger, the reason we brought this to the table was we felt like obviously a whole host of our forest management practices, both again on state forests and through the Forest Practice Act, are focused on restoration and protection of water quality and fish habitat. And we were trying to get some handle on are we indeed having an effect on the resources we're trying to influence. And we recognize and we try to highlight here that this is an outcome that's only partially influenced by our department programs, but we felt like it was important to try to build that connection. And if there are trends one way or another in this measure, then that can add or spawn additional questions on what is our contribution to that trend.
It seemed like you'd have to compare it to like habitats within the watershed on streams and measure the abundance in those watersheds. I mean, within the same watershed, other streams, tributaries, to have any measure, because you may have fish coming back in a greater abundance in certain streams than others within the same system.
Mr. Chair? Just for efficiency of the committee in the future, I'm going to offer a suggestion. You don't have to follow us, it's just me. But when you're making these many changes, it would be helpful, at least for me, if you listed the 19 you're going to be actually using in the future, mark those that are already in place, those that are modified, and those that are brand new, because this has been kind of a shotgun approach from my point of view. And I do have one specific question I'd like to ask. We have an opportunity, we have time, but we have to move into the budget cuts too. So It just was kind of confusing to me. I also share with you that sitting on other budget committees, measuring outcomes has been a real challenge for all state agencies, not just you. And that struggle is going on. The move away from input thing, measuring what you're putting in versus just measuring what you're getting out is a real challenge and a change in thinking. And so I appreciate the effort you've done here and the fact you're willing to change those things. But maybe we could present it a little differently next biennium, so whoever's sitting here won't be as confused as I am. Of course, you might get a little higher quality on this committee next time. You
won't. Oh, no, doctor. Come on.
I'm not speaking about myself.
All right.
Chair Krieger, Senator Bates, I appreciate both those comments, and I think the overhaul that we're making to our measures this time is so significant that I think you're right. We could have probably presented that a little bit more cleanly to you, and we will try to reflect that in the future. I think the only two measures I haven't mentioned, again, are on page B31, and well, actually, I did mention the measure, what's now calling measure 16, the total acres treated with prescribed fire, mechanical or other methods. Again, that gets to forest health issues. And then measure 19, again, which is somewhat of a stretch for us, but we think this is an emerging topic for us. We're interested in tracking over time how much of this forest biomass that's out in the landscape is being converted to electrical energy or steam.
Okay, crop.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a very, very good measurement, and I think you need to do this. There is a lot of talk amongst private industry to develop these technologies. You know, the governor's draft renewable energy policy. It clearly includes a biomass piece. There's a lot of opportunity here, and a million bone dry tons is probably a good starting point. I don't know how much we're going to do in the next year or two, but at least that's a good starting point. I think in the future, with the Healthy Forest Practices Act on the federal side, there's going to be a lot of biomass coming out of the federal forests, and if you can measure that also as part of the total, I think that would be very, very good. This is an emerging issue and technology that I think would be really good to have a measurement on.
Chair Krieger, Representative Krupp, we very much agree with you. We actually are being fairly aggressive in our targets for this one. Our 2003 value for this is 1.6 million bone dry tons. Looking from 2005 and beyond, we're trying to elevate that to push for 3 million and then eventually increasing that to 5 million over time. So we want to try to elevate this as an issue. And just as an aside, don't want to take your time, but I know the city of Portland is looking for ways to promote more renewable energy, and they're looking at investment in, I think, wind power in eastern Oregon. I think there's a great opportunity to build a bridge with urban Portland and build partnerships with rural Oregon and have their renewable energy emphasis also include biomass in eastern Oregon. I think that'd be a win-win.
Do we have time for more questions? You need to move on to...
Yeah, hit another one or two.
I'd like to go back to L6, page L16, performance measure 629-11. This concerns the percent of forest timber sale plan objectives met. I'm particularly interested in this because our natural resources, I don't think, are being fully accessed. It affects the state budget, and it affects our economy, having enough timber available. And you went through quickly the concerns about having enough FTE to make these sales occur when people are being pulled off to fight fires. I'd like to have a little further discussion on that. That lack of cut in 03, being 88% of target, must represent, I would guess, a substantial amount of money as far as what you would have received in those cuts if they've been made. And I know it rolls forward two or three years. You don't, what you sell that day doesn't come out right out of your pocket. But Could you give me a better idea of how many FTE you lost as a result? I mean, how it affected your ability to get those contracts out? Were you held up because of environmental concerns, or were you held up in courts by environmentalists? Give me more of a picture of why you didn't reach 100% of target. And looking back over the last 4 or 5 years, you never have been able to meet target. And there might be a lot of very legitimate reasons, but I'd like to hear them and see if anything we can do to help you reach that target.
Chair Krieger and Senator Bates, if it's okay, we'll put together just a little paper that details all that information for you and provide it to the committee later.
Yeah, that'd
be great. Thank you. And especially if there's something we can do to help you.
Sure. Yeah.
More FTE.
Well, or movement of FTE to the right area.
There you go.
Or maybe you privatize those handling the sales.
Where are we at in our program now? Are you ready to go?
I've included the summary of both our current and proposed new measures.
We can move on to 10%.
Get the prioritization list. Go ahead and do that.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm going to briefly explain the document that you're looking at. It's this legal size, very small print spreadsheet.
Very small print.
Yes, very small print.
You know, one of these days, you're going to make me get glasses to keep this up.
I apologize. The first several sets of pages are the individual programs within the department. So what you'll see if you look at the first page is this is the Protection from Fire program, and the name of the program is listed in the upper left-hand corner there. In column one is the department ranking of the priority for that program, and column two is the program area's ranking of that activity in the program area. Running across the spreadsheet are the sources of funds that make up the activity, the total funds, the number of positions, the FTE, whether or not there's a policy option package included in those dollars and positions, and then whether the agency is recommending it, if they have to make a 10% reduction, whether it would come out of this area or not. And then following along that, you find the a code, whether it's a statutory requirement, a constitutional requirement, a federal mandate, or whether it's debt service, and then citations, and then the key performance measures that relate to the activity and the primary purpose that the activity or program exists relates to. At the bottom is a list of primary purpose activities 1 through 12, and this one is in emergency services 8. So what the department's going to do for you now is go through each of these. If you have any questions about what the activity is, or if you need if you need further breakdown of what those dollars consist of, that's something that we'll have them bring back to you before you do the sub-program area, the committee area's prioritization process. At the very end of the document is a summary of all of the 10% reductions that are found in column 15 on these sheets that you're going to go through individually.
What pages?
It would be pages 23 and 24 and 25.
And then, Mr. Chair, for Susie, page 22 is the entire Department of Forestry budget.
It starts on page 21 to 22. Let's see here.
Actually, that section right there starts on page 18 through 22.
Page 13 is the department-wide priorities. 13, 14, and 15, and 16. They go through 92 and 17. It's 1 through 92. They've listed all of the activities and rank in that order.
Okay, and Mr. Chair, what...
why aren't the page numbers in the corner?
You're writing in here. Right?
No, mine aren't written yet.
Yes, they are.
Really?
You have a new one.
I got a new one?
You should have gotten a new one.
You have a newer one.
A newer.
It's an amended version, Senator. I hate to be talking about amendments already.
Susie, what would be very helpful also is to have last biennium's numbers. And I know this isn't set up that way. If I wanted to access that, how would I find
it? You would not find it in this format because the agency's budget hasn't been broken down that way. I think we might be able to talk to the agency and see if that's possible by the phase two of the process, but for right now, it's not available.
And thank you for sharing it with it. There's a reason I asked that, and it's really very simple, and it is the nomenclature of the media and running around this building is everything's a cut, okay? And I want to know what you guys got 2 years ago. I want to know what the governor's proposing you get today, and let me make a determination if that's a cut or not.
And
this doesn't show me that.
Okay, but that the total numbers can be compared to last biennium's budget numbers.
Yes.
Because we do have the totals, but not the breakdown.
Okay.
Just an explanation on the priority of department. Then what's the program slash division? What is the program slash?
Okay, the program is protection from fire. So that unit by itself looked at these activities and ranked those in priority order 1 through 9.
Okay, so like on this page, one, like on that first page, the first four okay, but the fifth one, emergency fire costs, the program rated, or the department rated at 9th. The program slash division rates
it's fifth and nine, and this agency is up there pretty high because they have 92 activities that they've ranked.
Okay.
So, yes, that's right. That would be where it is department wide.
Okay.
Maybe timber harvest came before that or something. I don't know. We'll find out.
Why don't we go ahead and let them get started and ask them as we go.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, again, Clark Seeley, Associate State Forester for the agency. We wanted to walk through the worksheets with you today and talk about prioritized services and the 10% reduction options that we've been asked to prepare for you. Just as a brief minute of context, when we talk about priorities within the agency and what we bring to you in terms of prioritized services, that really works off a framework that we talk with you about on Monday that reflects legal and statutory mandates and requirements at the top of the list. Board of Forestry, policy, planning, and strategic review. Governor's recommendations and agency priorities as a third level, and then out of that comes what we see as delivery of these services and prioritized services.
And Mr. Chair, Clark, that is for both your program or department-wide rankings and program division rankings. You use those same criteria for both.
Chair Krieger, Representative Crump, that's exactly right.
Thank you.
And that's a great point. So as we went through and go through that kind of an exercise, then Jeff, the next one, please. That brings us to a point where we have tried to describe at a very high level the 11 services that we provide as an organization. These are the products, if you will, that we deliver. And we really began this process that arrives at this list today. Back in the budget preparation for 0103, as we went through and the Board of Forestry was revising its forestry program for Oregon that it published finally in 2003, we stepped through exercises that ask those kinds of questions. What are the values that we create and provide, and what are the services that are related to those values? In 0305, the co-chairs ask all agencies to be more specific and actually create a prioritized list of services, and that was the language used last session, and we did that and went through that process. And in fact, this list is that list. We have, as the FPFO was completed and we went through our strategic planning, this list is still viable and still remains as our 11 services.
Clark, is that in our packet somewhere? Where are you at here?
It is. It's on page 24 of the presentation.
The presentation. Okay. Thank you. There we go.
And then have we, as we have gone into this 05-07 process, beginning with the agency request budget a year ago, and then also working into the governor's process this past fall, and as he has come through that in an approach with prioritization as well, the smart budgeting effort that was completed on the governor's behalf, again, we used this approach and this list, and this, in fact, was our smart budgeting prioritized list at the governor's level. So we have a flow of planning and decision making and presentation and thinking about priorities that goes back several years. What has been asked now for your work with us through LFO and BAM is to drill down one level below this list of 11 and say, what are the actual activities that occur within each of those services, and how does that shake out in terms of priorities and so on?
Sure. Help. I may be getting a bit confused. I'm going to give you an opportunity to keep me on the straight and narrow here.
That's a big statement.
Yes, it is. I know that, Senator, and I shouldn't have said it. I opened myself up for that immediately, and oh well. What is your prioritization of agency services? This, your criteria for prioritizing them is different than your criteria for ranking, correct?
Chair Krieger and Representative Krupp, no, I think fundamentally they are the same. Let me give you just an example, and that is the first couple of items, actually the first three items on that services list, relate to protection of the forest. And in the case of those three services, the statutes are our primary guiding priority setting element there. They require that the state forester provide an adequate level of protection from both fire as well as insect disease in the state. And so using the statutory requirement as kind of the first priority screen, those activities rise to the top. Now, there's other reasons why they rise to the top in terms of contribution to a protected environment and to the economy and so forth, but to some extent it reflects that statutory requirement. The Board of Forestry, in their planning, has also identified protection as a very high priority, and so we tier off on that as well. But as we look at either this list or the actual budget work, the notion of what makes it a priority, what makes it a high priority or higher priority, is essentially the same.
So Mr. Chair, a quick follow-up. So how then, help me understand how this fits in with the governor's desire for agencies broadly as a whole to focus on what are their core principles. What I would rather term it as core mission. Is this the same as your core mission, or is this slightly different?
Representative Krieger, Chair Krieger, Representative Krupp, I'd be glad to let Marvin on that answer as well. I'll give you my 2 cents, and that is that during this process that I described to you that involved board planning and the FPFO and going back to 0103, a segment that I didn't include that we did go through in terms of that process prior to this was to identify what we call our core business functions. And it really is three. It's protection of the resource, first. It's management of state forest resources, second. And it's providing assistance to forest landowners across the state in managing their resources. And at least in the parlance of the governor's approach for priority setting and what we've talked about in the past, that's how we have constructed. And then this particular list of services is intended to
reflect those core business services. If I may, reflects those yes. core values.
Yes.
Marvin?
Yes. It's explained in our strategic plan. I mean, all the kind of thinking and how we got to that point is listed there under core business functions.
Just to make it easier for you.
I'm sorry. No, no. It's a problem when you're a chair, you know.
Right?
Okay.
It's...
And do we have a copy of that in our resource book that
right,
you've given us?
You did bring the right one.
It is. I did bring the right one. Okay. All right. Well, I want to you have to understand, and forgive me for belaboring it. This is kind of a new process for us also, and I want to make sure that I understand the nexus between what the governor was asking agencies to do in terms of think about what are your core missions, what are your core values, principles as an agency, and then how that relates to your prioritization of services, your ranking of programs, and those kinds of things. I'm sorry that you guys are the first people that we had to put through this ringer, but I've got to try and understand how I make sense of this as a legislator. And I don't know if I'm muddying the waters here. Is that making sense to you guys?
I'm still in trouble. The department has listed the priority of where do you get the program/division? That's all over the board. How does that fit into the whole of this whole process? I mean, I'm looking at what the board is saying is priority in the department. What is this program/division? I haven't quite sorted that out.
Mr. Chair and Senator Nelson, the program/division, this on page one, if you don't look at the department priority, this is protection from fire. So the protection from fire program, these are all of their activities within that program area. They rank them 1 through 9. That's their priority for that program. Then the department took all of the programs that they have in the department and ranked all of the programs. And so the department priority given is 1 also. It just so happens that forest fire protection at the local district level is their number 1 priority. And, Clark, I had a question for you. Do all of these priorities then fall within those 11 categories? So if we were to ask you what are all of the program activities that are in number 1, you could identify those.
Chair Krieger and Ms. Jordan, that is correct. We could, and we've got another display of that, not on these sheets, but that is definitely possible.
Okay, that might be useful to the committee as
sure.
well
sure.
Later. And maybe for sake of time, we might just go to the page 13 and go through it as the department as a whole. And go through your programs and your 10% reduction.
Sure.
That's so that fine. They get a flavor of the for your time up.
You bet. If we do turn to page 13, then this format displays over page 13 through 17 the prioritized list of agency activities within these services. And so we're now down at an activity level, we have attempted to prioritize from 1 to 92 the agency activities within these services. Now, the ranking of priority, of course, reflects these 11 services, which again tiers up to core business function, which tiers up to strategic planning and so forth. So the common thread is there. But again, for the work with you this session, we wanted to focus, and you wanted us to focus, at one level lower than we normally do in terms of description, and that's at the activity level. So starting on page 13, you'll see in the column number 3 is a shorthand for the particular program we're talking about, and the PFF is Protection from Fire. More importantly is column 4, and that's the one-line description of the activity. And in the case of the first item that's shown there, our highest priority of the 92 across the agency is being ready to fight fire at the local district level, and that's what resource readiness means. The second is detection of forest fires. The third is fire prevention, and the fourth is fire suppression. And again, those are descriptions of activities. Now, frankly, they're still at a pretty high level, because we're talking, if you just look across the page, we're talking many millions of dollars and a lot of FTE, but they are at an activity level at this point. If you work on down through this page and the subsequent pages then in this display of 1 to 92, again, you'll begin to see as you work down, we get out of the fire program, both at the local district level and at the catastrophic or the emergency level, and we begin to get into the private program with item number 10, 11, 12 that relate to insect and disease and prevention and education for forest landowners. Again, that's beginning to reflect and still connected to the high-level summary.
Mr. Chair. Quick question here. In this exercise, again, of ranking, prioritization, and so forth, you have a lot of citations listed here. In fact, everything has an ORS or an OAR that is obviously pertinent. So what share with the committee what would be the relationship if in the rankings that in the budgetary process we decided not to fund certain activities at all. What does that mean for you in terms of your legal obligations under the ORSs or OARs?
Sarah Krieger and Representative Krupp, I'll take a first stab at it. The statutes are a lot of mays and some shalls. So a lot of these are just authority to implement a program. In that case, if we don't appropriate it, then we haven't broken any laws. In most cases, when it says something like Clark, I believe, quoted earlier that we will provide a minimum level of protection, that's still a fairly subjective evaluation. So, if you eliminated the whole thing, certainly we would not be following that ORS, but we could. There's a lot of variation within what acceptable level of protection may or may not mean, depending on who you were and what we were dealing with. I guess if you're asking if we would be breaking the law to eliminate any particular program, I don't really know the answer to that.
I think you're going to have to look at the individual program. If it's mandated statutory or constitutionally, that's one thing. If it's administrative rule, policy, that type of thing.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, the obvious question then that answer produces is if you are within your limits in terms of the enabling statute or rule, and we choose not to fund a program, then do you have a legal liability? In other words, could someone sue you because the legislature didn't give you the money?
Chair Krieger and Representative Crawford, it's a good question, and I really haven't explored that.
Mr. Chair and Representative Crawford, there is an attorney general opinion that has that was written some time ago that said that if the legislature does not fund the program, the agency is not under any obligation to carry it out. So
can't do the impossible. In other
that's
words.
Correct.
Okay. I want to move on.
I think that's something we would look at.
I want to move on here, Matt. But there was one thing I think I asked you about the FPFO, Force Plan for Oregon, about the number of people involved in developing it, time, costs. And I understand you have an implementation work plan maybe that you're going to have now that you never had when I was there, as I recall. Right. And if you have that, I want to know who's been working on that, for how long, time that's been incurred. You might answer the question they're talking about. Is this mandated someplace, policy? And where does that FPO fit on the prioritized list? What in what division is that falling now? Okay, thank you. Go ahead. Let's let them move ahead a little bit, please. Okay. Otherwise, we're going to be here another full day. Let's give them some time. If you have some specific questions, maybe write a couple of them down, and then we'll come back to them.
Again, just reflecting, we're at page 13, and as you look down towards the bottom of that page, you begin to see that we are into the private forest program in activities that do relate to providing service and providing information, working towards prevention of problems relative to the Forest Practices Act. Page 14 again continues with that program. Smoke management is found there towards the top of the page, number 23. And then we begin at item 24 to delve into the state forest program. And again, item by item works its way down through the state forest program activities. Now, as we're going down through this, again, as Ms. Jordan mentioned earlier, important to keep an eye on both the types of funds in the middle columns, 5 through 10, as well as column 15, which shows the proposed reduction, 10% reduction, element for that particular activity. Not all activities have a reduction in the proposal, but those that do is shown there. Towards the bottom of the page then, bottom of page 14, again we come back to some of the private forest program activities. continue those on to the top of page 15 in terms of financial assistance and federal grant and technical assistance. And then starting with item number 44 on page 15, the forest nursery operations and activities are listed there and broken out down the bottom of that page. And then they conclude on the top of page 16. And then at that point, and this is a point of deliberation or discussion for, I think, all of us in terms of this process, and that is that at that point, then we really begin to describe, starting with item 59 and really on through to the end of the list, those elements of our program budget that are administrative in nature. And here's where we're describing our activities for agency administration and support services and so forth. Now, you'll see that we've actually put an NA in the program level description, column 2, for many of those. And I think the question that that we struggle a little bit with is, do agency administration work, getting bills paid, making payroll, doing contract services, all of that, is that something that is actually interwoven throughout the entire organization based on work done and so forth? Or does it need to be and should be considered a separate budgetary consideration for priorities? And it's, you know, there's good arguments both ways. We have taken a view that it actually needs to be represented as a part of all the services we provide. And in fact, that's why that list of 11 doesn't have sitting there at all to itself an agency administration element, because there's agency administration embedded in a foundation support for all 11 of those services. But it is a question that that is one we wrestle with when we look at budgets and reductions and so forth. Our approach in this exercise has been to take 10% reduction in agency administration, and that's reflected on these sheets. But again, it's kind of a matter of how does that work into the process.
Now, Mr. Chair and Susie, because when we're asking for 10% reduction options, is that a 10% of total general fund spending?
All funds.
Of all funds?
It'll be all funds.
10% in each category.
In each category.
In each category, okay. And that's all funds.
And one other thing I might point out, Mr. Chair, on administration programs, we gave the agencies some flexibility in how they displayed it. So some agencies have taken their administration programs and spread it across all of their programs, and some of them, like forestry, have left them whole, showing that there is an element of administration and everything, but didn't rank them so that it doesn't get buried in the other activities. So you're going to see some differences when these come forward.
The question I had in my mind is, you've been asked to cut 10% in each of the categories, general fund, other funds, federal funds, and I'm just working through the logic of this. Our problem is general fund, okay? I like to know where your sources of other funds are. Sometimes that's transfers from other departments, which in fact are general funds. Sometimes it's not. And some of that money maybe needs to be leveraged to get federal funds, but my basic feeling is, you know, why are we cutting other funds, federal funds, reducing your ability to do your job when that isn't really our goal? Our goal is we have a shortage of general fund monies. And the question really is, where can you make general fund cuts without affecting your programs any more than you have to, remembering that some of that may be leveraged money you need later on to leverage federal funds. So looking at this, I can't pick that out. And I'm going to make an assumption you guys have put all that stuff through your heads. And the fund cuts you're seeing in federal funds and other funds are ones you had to make as a result of general fund cuts. I'm going to make that assumption, but if it's wrong, then I think we need a discussion of why are we cutting federal funds, why are we cutting other funds. We're just doing it as an academic procedure because the governor instructed you to, or the co-chair has instructed you to. I don't want it to cut your programs unnecessarily.
Representative Krieger.
Senator Shields.
I thought, and I'm not being facetious, that I was asking the same question yesterday. Maybe I didn't come across that way, but...
Probably not, because I don't remember that you answered that question.
Well, I didn't answer. I was asking question. Yeah. I thought I was, anyway. Senator Bates.
Mr. Chair, Senator Shields and Senator Bates, I think what the co-chairs had in mind when they asked for 10% reduction, first of all, there's a statute that requires that agencies present a list of 10% reductions, not just or it's a 10% reduction on general fund, but a 5% reduction in all other funds. But the other thing that they want the subcommittees to look at is that if there are areas where we are overcharging on our rates or fees that are generating those other funds, there may be some opportunity to make some changes or adjustments in those areas too. So it isn't necessarily a fact that we're going to cut all funds 10%. It is information seeking in what areas would you make those reductions if we were looking for those other kinds of opportunities.
Susie, where are we on time here? We've got about 14 minutes. Are they going to try to finish up today? What's scheduled on tomorrow?
Forestry is not scheduled tomorrow. If we want to bring this back, we'll bring it back at the end of the 3 weeks.
After you've gone through the others,
then we would have to pick up.
Let's try to get them through as far as we can today. And everybody take notes, so you'll have those available. And if you really have a pressing question, maybe so, but let's try to get them to move along. Go ahead, Mark.
If I could just draw your attention to the end of the list of 92 activities, and that's on page 17, and it gets a little bit to the question that was just asked by Senator Bates, and you'll see there at the bottom of the list the total dollars of the governor's recommended budget for 05-07 by fund type. So you'll see that total funds is $238 million, of which $37 million is general fund, and that's about 15%. Federal funds, there are $23 million, and that's about 8%, and the remainder is other funds. And then you'll also see totaled there in column 15 the total 10% reduction in $23.8 million. Now, the instructions, again, were to develop options for a 10% reduction of the agency's governor's recommended budget by major fund type. And so that then is reflected in the final set of pages, the last three pages, 23, 24, 25. And again, this is where all of those 10% reductions across those activities are brought together for a view. And this is currently grouped, again, by budget program. So you see the nursery is there, private community forest is next, state forest is next. And now, again, as you look at this sheet, the target number is $23.8 million total. That's 10% all funds. $3.7 million general fund, $16.3 million other fund, $1.5 million non-limited under other fund, and $2.4 million federal funds. Now, those numbers I just rattled off are actually at the very last line of this entire set.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you.
On page 25.
And
if you look at the total at the very bottom.
So, Clark, when you go through these reductions, would you indicate where there's a reduction in general funds that would have a corresponding reduction in other funds because it's a matching amount of money to other or federal funds?
Yes. Let me just say one other thing about this list. What we've been able to develop at this point in terms of the option approach is FTE. Because of the nature of most of our positions being multi-funded, meaning that they, as a 24-month position, they have a multitude of funds embedded within them, some fire, some private community forests, we've not yet been able to calculate what that FTE cut will actually be in terms of numbers of positions. So that's why the position column 12 is currently not completed. But the FTE that's reflected here is as accurate as we can estimate right now. So with the nursery, you see that we're proposing those reductions listed in the activities that are shown at the nursery. The nursery is entirely other fund. There is no general fund component here, so there's no connection with the general fund and no corresponding match. For the nursery, this reduction represents a significant, it's about a 60% reduction of the nursery budget and operations. It is a large amount in terms of the nursery total budget. Private and community forests being the second element there on towards the bottom of page 23. Again, those are the specific activities out of all of that program's activities that we have identified for reductions. In this case, you recall from our discussion with you on Monday and Tuesday, the private and community forest has some of its budget construction, both other fund and harvest tax and general fund, as we administer the Forest Practices Act. And there is an actual statutory connection. So when we do take a general fund reduction in private community forests, there is a corresponding other fund reduction that goes along with that. That's why you see both general fund and other fund dollars shown in that program. Now, some pieces of private and community forests are entirely other funded. And those are shown, those reductions are shown towards the bottom of the list for private and community forests. This is once again a significant reduction in the program. Particularly, you see item number 12 on this list, and we're indicating a 33 FTE reduction in the program, a little over $4 million. And that, of course, would be a significant reduction to private community forests. The state forest program begins at the bottom of page 23 then and goes on to 24. And again, these are the activities that have been identified within that program for reduction. Budgetarily, the seed orchard is also included within state forest program at a budget level. So you'll see that the seed orchard operations, item number 31 on page 24, is also shown for a reduction. And that's a fairly significant reduction for the seed orchard, even though, again, it's all other fund. Now, again, state forests is all other funds, other than we do have a little bit of federal fund limitation authority, because the state forest program actually receives some federal grant money for watershed work. But by and large, the vast majority of state forest funds are other funds. There is no corresponding general fund connection, and there is no general fund reduction in this program. And then finally, from an operating program perspective, towards the bottom of page 24, you see the fire program. The reductions that are shown here are reductions that reflect, again, this list of services and our prioritized list of all agency activities. On a percentage basis, these reductions are much less percentage of the entire fire program than reductions in other programs. In fact, we chose not to take any reduction for this exercise in what would be service priority number one at the top of the list. Now, what that means is that because half of the fire program, or nearly half the fire program, is general fund, in order to come up with a total of 10% general fund reduction for this effort, we had to find it elsewhere, and we found it primarily in private forests. And that large reduction we just looked at on page 23 in private and community forests reflects that. So that's a decision that we made based on what we present to you today in this package. The $1.5 million reduction in non-limited other funds, we have a total of that in that budget fund category of $15 million, and that's actually the expenditure limitation authority for the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund for the firefighting fund. Now, again, the instructions were to take 10% in every budget category, so we reflect that $1.5 million here. That's the only other non-limited other fund we have, and it's here, and it has to be shown at that level. And then the federal grant reductions that are shown, item number 8 in fire on page 24, $2.2 million. Our fire program is where we have the largest amount of federal grant dollars, mostly for the National Fire Plan and Healthy Forest Restoration Act work. And so, again, we did come here for a significant portion of the federal fund reduction. We had to come up with a total of $2.35 million in federal fund at the 10% level, and $2.2 million of that came right out of here in the fire program, National Fire Plan Administration.
And then finally, at the bottom of page 24 and then on into the last page, again, these are agency administration and support services work. And you'll see support services primarily at the top of the page, our equipment pool, our communications radio pool and equipment, and then our facilities maintenance program, and then agency administration shown at the last part of the page. So maybe I'll stop there, Chair Krieger, and I know our time is
You're down to about 4 minutes. Just one, I got one little question I wanted to ask. Underneath the state forest plan, I just talked to our staff. All of the revenue that funds that comes from the sale of, so in reality, when we actually get there, you don't have to make those reductions if you have the income from another source that's going to be there, do you?
Chair Krieger, the reduction from a budgetary standpoint is a reduction of expenditure limitation. So it is the limitation you grant to the agency to spend up to in a biennium that is shown on the pages here. If, in fact, we sell timber and need to, we obviously have the revenues coming in to cover our costs and make the distributions, but we have to work, of course, within the expenditure limitation that you provide. If you provide a limitation level that is low enough that we begin to literally bump up to that level as the months go by within the biennium, then we have a budget problem in terms of execution.
Mr. Chair, I think what you need to do is validate that these are important programs that the agency needs to be carrying out to do the work that you expect to get the outcomes that you want for those programs.
This is the only comment I mean. I just want to confirm that we're idiots, okay? Okay. We're talking about cutting programs that are not hooked to general funds, that are federal funds, a lot for fighting forest fires. If we made the decision to cut those funds out and not accept those federal funds, then we'd be liable on the other end if we have a bad fire season to supply general funds to fight those fires or to buy insurance to fight those fires. In most simple terms, that kind of what we're talking about here. I just want to make sure we all know what we're doing here.
Chair Krieger, Senator Bates, I believe you have it.
So we're idiots. Thank you.
Good, Senator. I think probably when we get done, we won't be allowing those types of things to happen.
I would hope not. Thank you. I'm not sure why we wasted your time making the rules.
Chair Krieger, if I could just come back to Senator Bates' point just for a second.
That we're idiots?
No.
I have too much of an opening there.
Not the first part of the point, the second part.
Thank you, Dr. Clark.
As you look at our budget, just keep in mind that most of the general fund that we have in our agency is statutorily connected to other funds.
I understand.
It's mostly in fire and private forests. And so what you see in general funds is connected with other funds. What you see as solely other funds in our budget stands alone.
Any other questions? How far are we from having you completely done? Are you done with what we need to do? And if there's little, some questions were posed over the last 2-3 days. I hope you've kept track of those and try to get something back to us. You got, what, 3 weeks before you start?
Yeah. He knows us so well.
Those are yesterday's questions.
Hey, this is a
and
thing.
And this was the day before's question.
This doesn't stop us from
you guys are so good.
Hopefully, this will make it easier on the other agencies that follow you. That these people won't be getting the same.
Chair Krieger. Chair Krieger. Obviously, today's questions we will get to you as well.
And okay, thank you.
Turn those around and
can we blame
them through
all of them?
Thank you for being patient with us, too. A lot of people are on learning curves in a lot of the different committees. We've got new people, new faces, and some of the questions they've asked shows they're interested in trying to do the right thing. We'll get there.
Chair Krieger, if I could just add, I want to say thanks to Ms. Jordan and Ms. Shearer. They've worked with us the last 8 weeks and particularly the last 10 days really well in order to pull this together, and we appreciate all their efforts.
They're known for being outstanding staff,
and
we don't want to compliment them too early.
We appreciate that. If there is, as you go through other committees, other agencies, certainly the process may evolve, and to the extent that you've identified a format or approach in terms of reporting that's better for you, certainly we'll come back with Ms. Jordan and produce the information in that format so you've got something common to look at.
Okay. Thank you, and we're closed. Thank you.
All right.